Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and... he's not here today. Great news is his lovely wife has been discharged from the hospital. They're on their way home as a family of four. And but that being said, you could imagine there's a lot of going on with Robbie today. So Robbie Falk not joining us here today. That's fine. We'll take care of it from there. Well, thank you guys for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird if Brupolo was in Rough Edge.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Don't forget, if you're listening to us in the Northport, Alabama area, the new Strange Brew is open there. Four drive-thrus for you to get you on your way with Strange Brew Coffee House. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're looking to cook out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I saw a great video for something. I'm going to see if I can find it. I will update as I go, but it's a big, they called it like a poor man's brisket. Not a chuck roast, though. It's a different kind of cut. I'm going to wait until I can find out more information, but that may be next weekend's cook. Can't cook this weekend with baseball and everything else going on, but big beef could be coming to Hey Dad's Grill very, very soon. And I hope it's coming to your grill as well. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Check out the College Corner website, collegecornerstore.com. They're having a big sale for Easter weekend. A lot of great deals and discounts to be had there on your favorite Mississippi State gear. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowing by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to have a great meal, not just a good meal, a great meal, you're going to go to Restaurant Tyler for lunch. We love a Restaurant Tyler lunch here on Thunder and Lightning. We love the blue plate. We love the fried chicken, the fried catfish. I like the blackened catfish. If you're a guy like me trying to lose a little weight, blackened catfish, you get great catfish, but it's a little healthier for you. I love it. And, yeah, love the sides, and I even like the cornbread, which is a statement for me. So if you want to have not a good lunch, a great lunch, you need to head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for your future. I guess they're going to help you advance. They'll help you advance financially. And that's the thing they offer you. That's the level of service we're talking about. You want a bank that not only knows about your money, they know about you as a person as well. So you need a bank that provides that level of service. That's going to be Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. The transfer portal is open. I'm not jumping in it, but some Mississippi State football players certainly have. And, you know, of the names that we saw going in, Ja'Cory Whitted, okay. Mason Clinton, people tried to convince me that guy was going to be a contributor. Nah, never, not once. Dontari Russell is a guy who I would like, if you're Mississippi State, you'd like to have made that work. Really talented player, I think, but simply did not do the things that he needed to do on and off the field to stay on the field. And, you know, sometimes you can get away with being, a player that doesn't do those kind of things. But you got to be super talented. You got to be Micah Parsons level talented to get away with being a distraction. Not that Michael Parsons is a distraction. I'm just saying that's the level we're talking about here. If you're not at that level, if you're just pretty good, well, then you got to do the other stuff too. So Dontari Russell gone. The name that surprised me is Jesse Rammel, offensive lineman who just got to Mississippi State this past December. As a transfer from James Madison. And that's a guy whose name had been thrown on some early depth charts, could potentially be a starter, be a big piece for Mississippi State on the offensive line. Now, if you've listened to Lebby talk throughout this spring, he has been pretty adamant about needing to improve the offensive line and maybe bringing in a couple more guys here in this next portal window. And to see Rammel run off gives you an idea of what we're talking about here, of what he's talking about here, where when you know, he's talking about not having the talent level where it needs to be in that room. This is a guy that you brought in December, and you're already saying, yeah, it's just not going to work. You need to find another spot. Now, he was recruited by Cody Kennedy, no longer here, obviously. Phil Loadholt, the new offensive line coordinator, or offensive line coach, I should say. And, you know, maybe it just wasn't working there. But to see a player of that nature to come in at that point and not be able to stay through the spring, basically. I mean, we're 2 days away from the spring game, and he already knows the die is cast for him to not be a part of Mississippi State's plans in 2025. That's a bad evaluation. There's just no getting around that. And I know some people will say, well, you know, they brought him in, they let him compete, and it didn't work. Mississippi State is 2-10 last year. They don't have time to be wasting reps, in my opinion, all right? They don't have time for that. You know, if Ole Miss wants to do that, if Alabama wants to do that, 9-10-win teams, if Georgia wants to do that, that's fine. Let them. Mississippi State needs guys in here getting the reps that are going to play next season. So that's just a miss. But it does give you some hope, maybe, that, you know, they feel good about the guys they have in some way on campus. I'm at the point with this offensive line that, because I like the running back room, and I'm going to trust Lebby on the receivers. The quarterbacks are fine. The offensive line is where your issues are. Do you just go with it with Jimothy Lewis and Luke Wirt? A couple of guys you recruited. They played as freshmen. I thought they were both, as freshmen, pretty good. The ceiling can be high for them. You just go out there with them. You got a guy in Albert Rees and Jacoby Jackson, your two guards, who are likely to be, you know, experienced guys who've played in this system for a couple of years. And then you have a new face at center. Probably, you know, Carson Lee is probably the odds-on favorite right now. Kobe Keenum will be in that discussion as well. Maybe Cannon Boone. I don't know. But to see a guy come in and come out like that, I don't know. And then you're talking about if you want to bring in new guys. Well, that's great, but you know they got to get acclimated pretty quickly. They got to, you know, make it happen pretty quickly, and that's going to be tough because you know they've missed spring practice and now they've got to get in here in the summer, learn the playbook, get that cohesion with their offensive line mates, and then go into fall camp ready to play. That's a tough ask, especially when you're talking about guys who aren't elite. You know, if these were elite offensive linemen, then, you know, if they were in the portal, they would have gone in already. They wouldn't be doing it at this point. You know, I think I saw something on 3 that Rammel went into the portal and immediately became the highest rated offensive lineman available. What does that tell you about the level of talent that's available right this second in the portal? The guy you don't want is the highest rated guy. So everybody behind him, they're saying, isn't as good. Well, what's the point? What's the point of that? So it's a tough spot for Mississippi State right now. You know, they've had so many misses in recruiting over the last 4 or 5 years on both sides of the ball. That's where this roster is right this second. I still think they should have been better than they were a season ago. I don't excuse 2-10 on the back of, well, they, you know, the talent wasn't good enough. The talent was certainly good enough to beat Toledo, and it was probably good enough to win a couple of conference games, especially if Shapen doesn't get hurt. But I am interested to see, you know, if they do bring in I don't know what to expect from anybody they bring in this portal window. And it just seems unlikely that you're going to get a guy who can really and truly contribute to you at this moment in time. So we'll just have to wait and see. Spring game this Saturday, noon kick at Davis-Wade Stadium. I got to be honest, there has not been a lot of publicity about this spring game. And I, you know, that kind of coincides with the fact that we haven't had a lot of publicity around practice. We're not getting to view it. It's not open to the public. There's just not a lot of juice. You know, and you're coming off of a 2-10 season, I thought that they would do everything they could to get people excited again for Mississippi State football. And like I said, the game's at noon. I don't know. It's not on regular television. I think it's streaming, but I don't know that for sure. I don't know. I don't know if they're doing the same format that they did a season ago, which I thought was a cool format, the way they set it up, where everything kind of got points here and there. And I just don't know. So, you know, I would encourage you to come out and see this team for yourself. But at the same time, man, I, I don't feel like Mississippi State's done a great job of getting you fired up and getting you into the Davis Wade Stadium this Saturday to watch this spring game. So we'll just have to wait and see. The portal will remain open for a little while longer. You know, we'll see if the one-way traffic will come to an end at some point. But if it does, you know, when somebody jumps in from Mississippi State, we'll talk about that. But right now, it's just everybody, you know, it's just been going out for the past few minutes. We didn't get a chance to talk about Keyshawn Murphy yesterday, and we'll talk about that now. Speaking of the portal and going out, that's a big blow. And I understand it's the whole, well, if you can replace, well, that's true. If you can replace him, if you can go out and get a guy who can give you 15 and 10, which is what I would have pegged Murphy to be near as a starter, then yeah, it's not a big loss. But that's going to be a tough ask, especially when it feels like Mississippi State is struggling to gain any real traction. They've got a couple of decent pieces there in McGee, and I really like Ballard. I think he can be a good player under Chris Jans, but they got big holes to fill, and it once again feels like nobody wants to take Mississippi State's money. You know, when this has been like this ongoing debate for the past couple of years now with Mississippi State that, well, they have the money, but it's and I know that they do. I know they have the money. Unless I'm just being flat out lied to. And I know it didn't work out with Kugel and Nwoko and Harris and Melinda. I know it didn't work out with those guys. Those evaluations weren't where you wanted them, but they didn't come for free. That was an expensive transfer class. It just didn't work out. That's a question for another day in Jans and the way he evaluates these guys. But I know that the money's there, so it's very frustrating, and I understand the frustration of fans that they can't seem to get any traction, especially when we're talking a couple of weeks ago when On3 is putting out an article that Mississippi State's going to be throwing around money in the portal. They're expected to be a big spender, and it's just not happening yet. And it feels like they're missing out on the first wave of guys they zeroed in on. You know, they got Ballard and they got McGee, and those are good pickups. I like those two guys, but you know, you need three or four more. And where are those guys at this point now? And I feel like the longer you wait, you know, it's not like the price goes down on good players. It's the opposite. The price goes up on average players. So the fact that you're not early, you know, you're not early in getting some of these guys is an issue for me. So we'll see what happens with that. But Murphy leaving, I just look at a guy who, you know, he was willing to walk out a year ago. Jans brings him back into the fold, works with him, develops him, puts him at a point where he's set to be a good player for a good team this year, and he just hops out. That's frustrating. And if I'm Chris Jans, I probably take that a little personally. And so, you know, at this point with Auburn, I just expect Mississippi State people to go there. You know, I'm just, you know, I just I should I should I announce I'm hosting an Auburn podcast starting very soon. No, I'm not, but it just feels like it's that every day with Auburn. But that's a tough blow for Mississippi State. And now, you know, I still Hubbard's going to be back. I'm not worried about that. But what do you have around him at this point? It's going to be interesting the next, you know, week to 10 days with Mississippi State. They've got to start getting some guys in the portal and getting this roster built up a little bit more than what it is right now. So we'll see where that takes us. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. We got two interviews to finish out the show today. We're going to talk to Alan Cole from South Carolina, covers them on the Rivals Network, get a spring preview on them. And then for a little fun, just, you know, we need a smile. Our good friend Alden Thornhill will join us from the Starkville Derby. That is just over a couple of weeks away. Some great information about the good works being done there and how much that festival means to the city of Starkville. So those are coming up in just a minute. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Of course, that's where the best viewing of the Starkville Derby is going to be. Luckily for me, as a part of the, I don't know if you guys have, if I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show or if you've seen it on my social media, but I will be part of the commentary team for the Starkville Derby. So I will be on the live stream doing commentary for wiener dog races. And if you had ever asked me back in my youth if I was going to be doing that, I don't know that I would have said yes to that. I don't know, but that's where I'm going to be. And I hope that you'll be in Two Brothers this weekend in the Cotton District, or the older brother for this weekend. We got baseball, we've got football, got a lot going on, but you need to find time for grab a great meal. Go to the Cotton District and head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, you talk to the same people, and they get you taken care of. They know how to do it at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 5 decades, taking care of their customers with service after the sale. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, if you need to get new MSU gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. The biggest, the best selection in Starkville is over at Maroon & Co. Nobody's touching them in terms of the variety of products they're able to put out there on the shelf. Everything you need, maroon and white. Not just clothes, stuff for your house, your car, your tailgate, whatever it is, it's there at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code to save you some money. In-store or online at maroonandco.com. Thunder 15 saves 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. I still, as of yet, do not know those exclusions. But when I find them out, I will let you know. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure, before you go to the game, you go to Maroon & Co. All right, let's do the SEC preview first. Alan Cole previewing South Carolina. All right, let's get this South Carolina preview down us here. Alan Cole will join us now, GamecockScoop.com. That's the Rivals Network that covers South Carolina. One of my favorite cliches in sports, Alan, is when the hunter becomes the hunted. And there's a little bit of that for South Carolina this year, a team that I don't know that we had big expectations for. They were on the cusp of the college football playoff. Now they'll come into this season with a team that people expect to be in that discussion. Again, is South Carolina ready to make that jump?
I think the program is ready in general. I think last year was a good, obviously, stepping stone, a good kind of bounce back from a 5-7 year in 2023. And then here's your biggest thing, which I'm sure you're going to get into, is not only do you have a returning quarterback, you have a really good returning quarterback in Lenora Sellers. So that's kind of always, you know, box number one to check for any team, especially a team trying to get to the college football playoff. And if Lenora Sellers is back, you've got a chance in pretty much every game, you'd think.
And with Sellers, it's kind of the same thing with him. You know, an unknown a year ago. I remember when it was announced early in the spring that, hey, this is going to be the guy. There was a lot of, you know, oh, really? They're not going to go to the portal. They're not going to do this. And, you know, I was very impressed by him. I think if he had been healthy, they might have gotten that that win over LSU and been in the college football playoff. What's the next level for him? How much better can he be in year two as a starter?
I think the next level is just taking the raw physical, almost Cam Newton-esque attributes that you can just see and then turning that into a little bit calmer, a little bit more direct. He did have some trouble with accuracy at times last year. He does have the, you know, really good quarterback, throws at 100 miles an hour thing going sometimes. So a little more touch on the ball, a little more accuracy. It's just kind of settling into that. I mean, the skill set's there, the talent's there. Anybody who sees knows that he's pretty unique at that position.
I thought that we saw some glimpses last year of the old Rocket Sanders at times. He looked like the guy who was so dominant when he was at Arkansas. Now he's obviously he's out of there. So who takes over for him? Is that a big position battle that you're watching this spring?
That is a battle. Rasul Faison, the transfer from Utah State, is kind of the leader of the clubhouse right now. He was over 1,000 yards in the Mountain West last year. They've got Oscar Attaway back. He was a pretty serviceable number two behind Rocket Sanders last year, but I don't know if he can be more than a number two in the SEC. He was a North Texas transfer before last season coming into the program. Jawarn Howell, he was a South Carolina State transfer, FCS, before last year. He didn't play much, but he looked pretty good when he did, and he played a little more in the bowl game when Rocket opted out to get ready for the draft. So that's kind of a sleeper name to watch, I would say. Those three are probably the main guys. I think it's going to be Faison getting the bulk of the carries, but probably going to see more of Attaway and Howell in that 2 and 3 than he did last year.
Do you feel good about this offensive line unit?
I think so. They're breaking in a new center, so that's always kind of just quarterback center exchange is going to be different. But you've got a returner at left tackle who was a 5-star who played last year as a true freshman, and Josiah Thompson. Cason Henry's finally healthy. He had a good year at right tackle last year. A couple good transfers in. They got Nick Sharp, who was a regular starter at Wake Forest. He's probably going to play one of the guard spots. It's never perfect. It's never going to be. I think you probably want some more depth. I think they're going to look at maybe adding one or two more bodies there in the spring portal window. But if nothing else, you've got returning experience pretty much everywhere except for center. So that's always a good start.
D defensive line last year was so impressive for South Carolina. They knew how to get after the quarterback on a daily basis, and they've added some good pieces, I feel, here in you know, recruiting. Xavien Hardy was the guy Mississippi yep. State fans were looking forward to seeing in Starkville, and he makes a signing day flip to South Carolina. They bring in a guy by the name of Clowney, who's had some, you know, Clowney's have had some success at South yeah. Carolina, but we'll see what his younger brother Demon can do there. This feels like a pretty deep unit. Is it one of the better ones in the SEC to you?
It's hard to say just because I don't think there's any way it's as good as it was last year. I mean, that might have been the best overall defensive line in school history, including the Clowney years, just with how deep they were. I mean, Kyle Kennard led the SEC in sacks, and you've got yeah. three defensive tackles there who are, might all get drafted next week. At least one of them should be a day two pick, and TJ Sanders. But I think it's still good. I don't know if you necessarily have the superstar besides Dylan Stewart, obviously the sophomore five-star. But Brian Thomas Jr.'s back. He had a very solid year last year. Jatius Gear, Desmond Umiazulu. I think they're going to be okay at edge. I think the interior is a little bit more where they're maybe concerned and, again, might target another body or two in the portal just because their top four defensive tackles off last year's roster and snaps are all gone. So that's just a lot of turnover at one spot, even though I still think they're going to be pretty good and pretty explosive at edge.
We've mentioned a few here and there, but who are the new faces you've got an eye on this spring? You know, offense, defense, freshmen, transfers, whatever it is. Who's some new players that you need to keep an eye on for South Carolina?
Yeah, I mentioned Faison already at running back. I think he's going to have a big role for this team one way or another. I'm trying to think defensively. Brandon Cisse was a corner at North Carolina State, a regular starter there. It sounds like they're working him more at nickel, just kind of from what we've heard, that 4-2-5 defense Clayton White runs. But I expect him to be an almost every down player for South Carolina in the back end of the secondary. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy is one of those defensive tackles that they're trying to fill that void with, the Texas A&M transfer. Didn't play a lot at A&M, but former five-star, you're just kind of hoping a fresh start there is going to really be able to help him. And then the wide receiver room has, and I don't know if I've ever covered this in a college football program, 6 true freshmen.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Yeah.
Lex Cyrus is a name I know people are excited about. He was a 4-star from Pennsylvania who actually chose South Carolina over Penn State. Malik Clark was a big in-state recruit. He was a 4-star who's down to South Carolina and Clemson. So it's hard to know when you have a room that big which ones are going to kind of rise to the top, but I would expect a true freshman receiver or two out of those 6 to be playing pretty regularly by the middle of the year.
In South Carolina, the team, you look at their schedule.
Yeah.
And, man, that first month, you're going to learn a lot. I mean, that Virginia Tech game is going to be very interesting. That's opening weekend. That's a Sunday game. Then you have Vanderbilt, Missouri, and South Carolina all in the Kentucky, all in the first month of the season. It feels like before we get to October, we're going to know exactly what South Carolina really is.
Yeah, I actually think it's just given those opponents, it's pretty conducive to success. Week one's always a coin flip. You just never know what rosters are going to look like, especially in modern college football. But, you know, let's say you catch a week one game on a neutral field against an ACC team. You've had success against Vanderbilt. Obviously, I know Pavia's back, but you beat them pretty soundly last year at their place with the FCS game, South Carolina State in there.
Yeah.
It's Missouri on the road. I mean, that's always going to be a tough spot. And then Kentucky at home, another team you beat pretty handily last year. Like, I think if you can catch the Virginia Tech game right and you play well week one and get a little momentum going, you have every chance to start 5-0. And mm-hmm. then you go to your first bye week, and then you go on the road to LSU coming out of that bye week. And then Alabama and Oklahoma coming in here. So I think it gets tougher in October, but you're right. Like, if this team's good, I think you're going to see it in September, and then it's going to set up a pretty interesting middle part of the season.
We're doing this interview today as the second portal window has opened up. Is South Carolina planning to be active there? Do they have a need they need to fill?
Yeah, I think I don't think you're going to see them kind of do what Oklahoma did and just raid the market already. Right. I think line of scrimmage, both sides, offense and defense, and they're looking for a couple more bodies. They already got Clowney, like you said. That was technically he had entered during the winter portal, which is why he was able to sign before April 16th. But he was one defensive end. I think they're still looking for another defensive tackle or two, and then probably a little more depth on the offensive line.
All right, this is the last question. It's the same question for everybody who's done one of these interviews. Today is April the 16th. Last game of the season for South Carolina is the Clemson game. When we finish that game up, what are we saying about this South Carolina team?
Like, you want a record prediction, or just what are we like?
I'll take whatever. What do you think? You think they'll be in the playoff hunt? Whatever you want to say.
I think it's similar to last year, where it's in the playoff hunt, but probably a little bit short. I just think you're replacing almost an entire starting defense. Basically, I didn't even mention Nicky Minwori is going to be a first round pick. You're losing him at safety. You're going to have to replace him, which I think Brandon Cisse will help with in the secondary, but you're just losing a lot on defense. I think the offense is better than last year. The defense is a little worse, and it works out about the same at 9-3, 8-4.
We shall see with South Carolina. One of the most interesting teams, I think, in the SEC this upcoming season. Alan Cole, GamecockScoop.com. Appreciate your time, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff with Alan. South Carolina, such an interesting team this year. You know, as they transition from a team that nobody had any real expectations for to a team that people have big expectations for, can they be in the playoff picture? What can Lenora Sellers do? I'm very interested to see that South Carolina team. Let's have some fun now, and let's talk about the Starkville Derby. One of my favorite events, a really cool part of the great city of Starkville, and that is the brainchild of our friend Alden Thornhill, who is a great Stark villain. We one of the best guys you'll meet. Loves this city, and the passion he has for this project really comes through in this interview. So we'll go down to my interview with Alden Thornhill as we talk about the upcoming Starkville Derby. There's just something about when somebody tells you, well, you can't do that, and then when you do it, and you not only do it better than people said you were going to be able to do it, you make it something really special. That is special to me. I enjoy those kind of success stories. That's why I enjoy talking to Alden Thornhill. We've never given you the official title. What is the title of the Starkville Derby?
So, you know, my title is founder and liaison for the Starkville Sausage Dog Society, Brian. And, you know, as I tell you every year, we couldn't grow like we do without you and Cooper Talk and Robbie and everybody. So, you know,
well, let's not give Robbie any credit. No, what's he do? He's not even here. He's not even here right now.
Can he show up?
May 3rd. The third annual, I was, you know, you did the Ween Strike Back last year, and you went with more of a Grateful theme, Grateful Dead theme this year. I was hoping for Return of the Weens.
You know, we change up the theme every year. This year, it's actually the 60th anniversary of the band. So we said, you know, Grateful Weens goes perfect. People love tie-dyed shirts. You know,
they
sell that from the shirt sales, and you know, it just kind of fits the theme. You know, we like to have a fun theme every year, and you know, this year's no exception.
Yeah.
And next year's theme, we'll actually unveil it the week after the mm-hmm. year's derby. I think everybody's gonna love it too.
Okay, so. I'm excited. All right, you got some hardware, and I knew about it last year when we did the interview, but I wasn't allowed to say anything because of the timing of the announcement. But the Starkville Derby was named the best big festival, is that correct, in the state of Mississippi?
Yep, Mississippi Tourism actually awarded us the best large festival.
Best large festival. Okay.
Designation. Yeah, that's, I think, over 10,000 people mm-hmm. designates that. Shout out to Paige Hunt, who's Starkville Partnerships
tourism
director. She got us she nominated us for that and got the ball rolling. And then, of course, Mississippi Main Street named us best large creative event, and that's another Paige Watson.
I know both the Pages. Yeah,
Paige and Paige, both at the partnership.
Yeah.
So we got plenty going on there. But you know, we win these awards because of, you know, Mississippi State fans, Starkville locals, students, Weenie Dog people, of course. Gotta get a lot of my fellow Weenie Dog folks, and then of course our media folks like you, Brian, that help us spread the word about this thing. You know, it started out just as an idea. And it's just exploded into this giant, you know, into a big dog it is today. And it no pun intended. It keeps getting, you know, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. So, you know, we appreciate you and thank you for that, because without you, we wouldn't be where we're at.
When you started this, I know you had high hopes for it. You could not have thought that you were going to be the central event of Super Bulldog Weekend. And that's what this is, right? Baseball is important. I get that. But, you know, normally it's like, all right, we do this baseball, but we also have the spring game to bring people in. People wanted to do Super Bulldog around the Starkville Derby this year, and that's what's happened. And so Saturday, before everybody heads over to Duty Noble, they're going to head to the Cotton District to watch the Starkville Derby.
Right, and, you know, that's you know, I appreciate Joey Bailey and Brandon Langlaw. You know, they kind of got that going with the fans, reaching out and saying, hey, what do we want to look at for Starkville Derby? They actually spoke with me, and I said, you know, when I was growing up and you know, in college, it was really more of a spring homecoming weekend, you know, not just – baseball, not just spring game. We had other stuff going on, and I think we kind of accomplished that with this. So, you know, we want to thank all the fans that said, hey, you know, May, first weekend in May, Starkville Derby, baseball, and then, you know, other surprises. That's really what we're wanting to do, and you know, that's that I knew this thing would get big, and once it kind of started rolling, but now where we're at, it's it's all a testament to our team and the people behind me and the city and the university. So we thank them. But yeah, no, baseball, come on out to baseball game, or come on out down Saturday. Festival grounds open at 9. We'll have about 140 vendors, food and art vendors. We'll have a watch party sponsored by Bank Plus. So if you can't be right at the track, you can see it. You can bring chairs, you can bring blankets. At the Bluff City Turf Co. green carpet, we'll be running the dogs, come on out. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our title sponsor, Bocock Brothers. They're making a signature cigar that's going to be honoring Coach Polk and Mississippi State.
Oh yeah.
They'll be selling you the boxes there, and Coach Polk will be signing. We'll probably get him to call a race or two for us. And we have our Mama Justice puppy race. Shout out to Mama Justice, Missy, big in community. Bank Commerce sponsor senior
You are a sponsorship machine. I need to get
sponsor.
you to handle the podcast
Man,
advertising for me.
I tell you, it's you get memorizing these names, and then of
Yeah.
course Ben 612 is sponsoring our main event adult races, and then we even have stuff like the Frisbee Dogs that you see at halftime. They're going to be performing.
Oh,
Bank
wow.
First sponsoring that, and then we have our call to post with Old Dominic and our Bud Light national anthem. We have Charlie Chastain on banjo and the Sharp sisters, Ella and Mia Sharp. They're actually twins. I'm pretty sure they're gonna be performing our national anthem. So we got all kind of surprises, and then, of course, our Farmer, of course, Properties flyover. We've got Raspit Flight Lab, MSU Unmanned Flight Service. They're gonna be flying planes, and then also Mississippi Aviation Academy. They're gonna be flying their planes. So I tell people it's not just dog racing. It's
Right.
all kind of
It's an
stuff.
event.
It's an event. It's a festival. We got a giant kid zone with a bunch of bounce houses. We got pony rides. You got the short dogs. You got the short horses. And then, stuff like color your own weaning dog stations. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Yeah.
What
You
do you
haven't even
want?
mentioned the food.
And then, of course, the food.
Yeah.
We've got so
The
much
best
food.
part
I know
after
the
the weenie
best part.
dogs.
We've got some amazing restaurants in the Cotton District. I tell people we really need to. We really promote that area and the restaurants and the bars that we have. Because Dan Camp had a great vision when he set that up, and have it right there by campus. People don't, I hear you said it before, and other people like Brandon Walker. When people finally come to Starkville, they see this is a great college town,
Right.
and we need to promote that fact. And that's what I tell people all the time: don't be, all shucks. This is, we're just this town. Now we're a great town. We're a great college town, and when people come and see it, they know about it. So that's why we like to brag about the Derby. That's why we got people tuning into this live stream that Brian, of course, will be commentating on. Live, 15,000 people tune into that thing and watch it in countries like Japan, France, Germany, Brazil.
I speak a little French. Maybe I'll throw that in there.
Hey, we, bon we.
Le petit chien. I know what
Yeah,
that's what
little
that is.
dog.
Yeah,
Yes,
little
for
dogs.
sure.
Yeah.
And so, we have all these people tuning in. I see all the time on Instagram. We actually, the reel that, or the video that Brian, you narrated, it went viral on TikTok. It has over 100,000 views, and our other videos that Whit Wade did, same thing. And these people see this and say, "Wow, I didn't know this was in Mississippi. I didn't know this was in Starkville. I need to come check out Starkville."
Yeah.
And so, that's one of the main goals we set out to do. This is really to push up and bring up all our hospitality folks in the town, and then of course give back to a great organization in the Ottawa County Humane Society that Brian is a great supporter of.
I try
So
to be,
thank
yeah.
you. Yes.
Yeah. So, how many people last year, and how many are we expecting this year?
So, we had about 66K throughout the whole festival
You
grant.
had more than any Mississippi State football game, is what you just said there. That's what you just said.
Well,
It's true, though.
I'm going off
Yeah.
of food and beverage sales
Yeah.
and some other factors, and we look to exceed that number and exceed the money we raised last year, of course. So it's a little dog that barks very loud, and so we want to just keep growing it.
And you, I don't know if everybody knows, you're taking on another responsibility
Oh yeah.
this year as well as a new father. So
Yes.
I always thought the Starkville Derby was your baby. You're gonna have an actual baby. You are gonna be the busiest man on planet Earth for about 3 weeks here.
Oh yeah. So we're expecting our first daughter. They told us she was about a week ahead already. So I might not be out there, but I told my wife, her doctor is going to be there, her anesthesiologist is going to be there, and the baby's pediatrician will be out there. So I said, what better place than we could have her at the Derby?
Yeah.
And we could do like a Simba moment and hold her above the track and write happy birthday. And I said, what better way than to get the life going at the Starkville Derby? And she said no. And I know, right? I said, come on, man. But We're really excited to welcome her. And like I told my wife, I said, weenie dog races are great, but I can't wait to be able to have her, watch her grow, and then bring rope her into this whole
Oh,
thing.
this
And
is a family affair now.
absolutely, I
In
said,
the year 2075,
oh yeah.
it'll be her running this thing.
And I said, one day it'll a lot of people be like, hey, I gotta pass something down to you. It's been our family for a long time. She'll be like, what is it, grandma's necklace? And I'm like, no, it's the world's largest wiener dog race. Like, I need you and your friends doing it now. We're all too old. Like, we can't do this anymore. So yeah, but yeah, no, we are very excited and we appreciate it. And we congrats to Robbie, of course. Same
Yeah. We
way,
got
and
the
everybody.
Bulldog family is growing. That's what we
Yes.
like to see. How
Yes.
much were you able to raise last year for the Humane Society, and what are you hoping to raise this year?
Yeah, we raised, I think, I want to say 45,000 last
Wow.
year, and this year we're definitely going to exceed it.
Okay.
It's a great thing, but we, any donations, we have stuff as easy as Venmo. If you want to just donate, we'll have it out there at the event. We'll have giveaways. We have some amazing shirts that are at Be Unlimited and the Lodge, that are being sold, and each shirt purchase goes to help out Shelter Pets. So help out and look good while you do it. Our shout out to Be Unlimited too. I hate to, I'll plug a great provider, Mississippi State Merchandise. If you want good looking stuff, go through Be Unlimited. Loriana Billington, who's actually like my right hand on this thing, she does VIP tent. She does it all. Her and her husband Ross, she's over marketing at Be Unlimited. And I'm telling you, go to downtown Starkville Hotel Chester, check out Be Unlimited stuff, and
Yeah.
you'll see, of course, great weenie dog specific stuff, but you'll see some great MSU gear. And then if you're in Oxford, I mean, if they're listening to this,
Oh, they're
we have
listening. They're listening.
they
Don't you worry
are
about that.
rent free. Actually, the Bijan Frise people were saying that, rent free to the weenie dog folks the other day, and I was like,
Yeah,
come on, man.
we're not
I'm
doing
like,
that.
no, but we got some good stuff, and shout out to them. But yeah, no, we're ready. May 3rd, festival grounds open at 9. Y'all come on out and just get you a Mutt Julep if you're 21 and up, and see what it's all about. Follow us at Starkville Derby.
I just got to tell you, we need mobile gambling this because I want to be able to bet on these races too. Can we imagine we get some lines set up?
Man, I ain't touching that one with a 20-foot
Again,
pole.
I'm just saying,
Yeah.
if I could on FanDuel do weenie dog races, I would do it.
Yeah,
I would absolutely
Waffles is minus like
do. Minus 500. Yeah.
2,500. Yeah.
So anything else we haven't hit on that you want to get out here?
No, just guys, come on out. We're gonna have a great event. We'll have parking at the mill. We'll have trolleys that are actually picking people up. Come on out and experience this. Like I said, it's not just some little, I tell people all the time, it's just not some little dog race. It
Yeah.
is, it's a festival, it's racing, it's just a great time. If you haven't been back to Starkville in a long time, come on down. I mean, knock on wood, hopefully the weather will be great. You'll get to go this, you get to go to Duty Noble, and then you'll get to, you'll have just a great day in Starkville, and really see how much is it much the town's changed, and how much this place keeps getting better and better day by day.
All right.
So
Bart Heisch, Bo Bounds, and some schlub named Brian Haydad on the commentary for the Starkville Derby. We'll see how it all goes on. Alden, I say it all the time. I appreciate everything you do for our great city. You are a key cog to all the good things that are happening in Starkville, and we appreciate you here on Thunder and Lightning. Anytime you ever need us, we're just a phone call away. Alden Thornhill, Starkville Derby, Saturday, May 3rd, starting what time? What time is the call to
call to post at 10,
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
So what time's I got to be there?
You're going to need to be there like at 8.
I'll do the best I can. Thanks, Dalton.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Going to be a lot of fun on May 3rd as the Wiener Dogs take over the Cotton District for the third annual Starkville Derby. I'm fascinated to know what the theme will be next year. What will it be? What do they go with? Avengers? Nah, probably not. What are they? Superheroes? Something that I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out. All right. No, I don't know what Robbie's situation is going to be. We're just going to get through it. Don't you worry about that. I'll be here if nothing else. I've already got an interview recorded with Ben McKee from Go Vols 24/7, which luckily I recorded after all this stuff. I just did it today. And if I had recorded it 2 weeks ago, I would have had to call him back and get him back on the phone. But we'll talk Tennessee on tomorrow's show, and we'll look ahead to the weekend with Mississippi State and Florida headed into SEC baseball play. And we'll talk about the spring game a little bit more. And what we want to see, what do we want to see at the spring game at this point? We'll find out. All right, guys, have a great Thursday. I'll be back with you on Friday for Robbie Paul, who is not here. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.